Today is December 30th, 2015, and this is episode number 339 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, an anatomically correct and exact replicant of the baby new year.
Oh my God, everything is so clear to me now.
Story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com. This is what happens when I don't.
When you slip up and let us know who you really are.
Well, I was actually thinking along the lines of when I don't put any pre-thought into my titles.
Nonetheless, there's so much in my world that makes sense now that I know this.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And although the image of you when you're walking around on New Year's Eve wearing just the diaper and carrying a big rattle that says 2001 and then it has a little blank and you have to draw in what the number is. It's really creepy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Kind of exciting at the same time. It's really weird.
You should issue administer the void conf test on me.
I think I should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I said replicant. I meant to say duplicate.
No, I said
replicant.
I did catch the replicant line.
That was an accident.
I'm sure it was. And Brian, there's a turtle. He's in the desert. He's on his back. You come up on it. What do you do?
Chop its head off and eat it.
All right. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine.
I flip it over, man. Send it on its merry way.
Oh, okay. I feel so much better now.
Yeah. Have you read the book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Long time ago.
It's not very good.
Yeah. I remember reading the book, and it was after Blade Runner came out. And thinking, this isn't the same. I wish they'd done a book of the movie instead.
Well, I mean, I love Philip K. Dick. He's a fascinating individual.
Mm-hmm.
Just an absolutely fascinating individual. He wasn't a good writer. He had these amazing ideas, but he just wasn't good at the writing aspect of writing. He was great at the story mm-hmm. aspect of writing. And of course, I'm a huge believer in judging TV shows, movies, books, art, poetry in the context of its time.
Yeah, that's fair.
And, you know, science fiction in the 60s, late 50s, and Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep was a late 60s affair.
Mm-hmm.
Science fiction of that era really often wasn't well written. I mean, that's in today's eyes. But and as a visionary, Philip K. Dick was astounding.
But, yep, but, I will agree with you.
But that book, it's a really interesting story. It's just not a great book.
Yeah, the movie though, that was really good.
I very much enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, I also really appreciated when the director's cut came out. And yes, I know there's several director's cuts, but when the director's cut came out and a lot of the voiceover stuff that they did was gone because it shouldn't have been there in the first place. They put it in because the studio was afraid that audiences would be completely lost.
No, I get that. I get that. And I get why Ripley didn't want it there, didn't think it needed it there. And Ripley? I get why.
Ripley, you say?
Ripley. Ridley.
Ridley, yeah, Ripley Scott. Had to fight aliens.
Yes, she did. That was my mistake. Ridley. Anyway, I get why Ridley. Anyway, I get where you're coming from on there. I didn't mind the voiceover. It definitely helped add to that noir feel to it, to be honest.
And it just felt kind of weird and out of place to me.
But really, before you knew that it wasn't supposed to be there? Really?
It was mildly distracting because I'm watching the show, and then all of a sudden, here's Harrison Ford doing his monotone discussion of what's happening, and then I was being pulled out of the beautiful visual story that I was given, so that I could focus on Harrison just telling us all.
I smell the whiff of revisionism.
No, I took a bath.
I smell the whiff of revisionism.
Well, regardless, I prefer it without the voiceovers.
Okay, I'm with you there. And I also prefer the director's ending.
Yes. Yes.
That was a much better ending. We won't do any spoilers, even though the movie is, what, 30 years old now? 30 some odd years.
I am so not into – you know how I react to spoilers.
I do. Yes. I do. But the director's ending is the director's Ridley Scott's ending is not the ending that the studio made him go with.
Right, and when he got to put his ending on, it was much better.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah. Right. This is a show about Apple, isn't it?
Yeah.
When that movie came out,
Apple
IIs were being sold, and the Macintosh was being worked on.
That's true.
When Android's Dream of Electric Sheep was written, Steve Jobs was in school.
Yes, yes.
And Steve Wozniak may have still been in school too.
You did a fantastic job of pulling everything together.
Yeah.
It's still an Apple show.
Yes. This week's show is being brought to you by Stretcher Reach.
Stretcher Reach.
When you need to really reach something, reach for Stretcher Reach.
Go out and grab it today.
Oh, well played. Well played. All right. So speaking of Apple stuff, did you see that video that I posted of the Star Destroyer?
Oh, man, yes. And Brian, I watched it on my Apple computer.
Excellent. That's good. That's good.
Oh, the Star Destroyer flying craft thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an RC thing. Yes.
Radio control Star Destroyer. They made this thing 15 feet long. They made two of them, actually.
Well, if you're the Empire, you need a fleet. So, of course, they needed to make two.
Right. But one of them was, you know, like a foot and a half long. And the other one was 15 feet long. And they wanted to see if they could make it fly. Because, you know, why not?
I know. I mean, yeah, the logic is not lost on me.
I love this. Spoiler alert, we're gonna have a spoiler here. They made it fly.
Okay, yeah, that's a reasonably acceptable spoiler in this case.
Can't really talk about this stuff otherwise.
Yeah.
But and there's also, by the way, there's, you know, it's not like a big reveal. Anyway. The Star Destroyers were made to fly through space.
Yes, however, they could also go into the atmosphere.
Yeah, but they didn't need to fly.
No, because in the Star Wars universe, they have incredible anti-gravity technology. So they're just hovering.
Yeah, and propulsion means. I mean, there's just like, you know, magical propulsion going on.
Right.
So, this thing didn't need to fly. It wasn't designed to fly. As a matter of fact, that was actually one of the really cool things about Star Wars, is that the ships and the spacecraft weren't Navy ships. They weren't smooth. They weren't designed to go through atmosphere, you know, so they're all aerodynamic and slick and smooth.
Yeah. The ship, they greebled the crap out of those ships.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of what made Star Wars so new. You know, ask your parents, kids, if you don't know what we're talking about. True. But it was really interesting and different. And the fact that the universe was so old and dirty. was also new.
And vehicles that were not symmetrical, like the Millennium Falcon.
Yes, because you don't need symmetry. Although, that said, having like a gun just on one side, that always seemed kind of weird to me.
What do you mean? There's guns. There's big cannons on top and bottom of the Millennium Falcon.
Top and bottom?
Yeah.
Is that where they are? Is that where Luke's at the top and Han's on the bottom?
Yeah.
don't go there.
You have no idea how much fanfic. Anyhow. Yes. So, which also brings up an interesting thing, because the gravity in the gunner stations.
Yes.
Is perpendicular to the gravity in the rest of the ship.
Oh, so it is.
Yeah. There's a gun on top and bottom.
Okay, that actually makes sense, and I should have realized that. All right, so anyway, yeah, you don't need stuff to be symmetrical. You don't need stuff to be aerodynamic. But these folks, these nerds, they wanted to see if they could make one fly. So they built a 15-foot model.
Mm-hmm.
Strapped on motors.
Yep, on either side.
Some RC controls, you know, made some ailerons and things like that.
And off it went.
Off it went. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It was really cool.
It's ingenious.
And it looked really neat in the air.
It actually kind of looked wobbly and ungainly.
Yeah, but it still looked really neat. You know what they needed to build? Was a Rebel Blockade Runner RC, so they could have it flying out in front of the Star Destroyer.
That is something they could have done. Now, this project, it's flight test. I think it's flighttest.com is where they are. It's FLITETEST. But we have the we'll have a link in the show notes to the video, to the article with the video and the other links and stuff.
Right. And again, I watched it on my Macintosh.
They've made
in the Safari web browser.
Excellent. That's good. Both excellent Apple products with using QuickTime.
Yes.
Both this company does has like their one of what they do is they see if they can make weird stuff fly.
That's a very noble goal.
It is, yeah.
I'm glad there's a company out there that this is just what they do.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can really call it a company. It could just be like some dudes that, you know.
Well, it sounds better than saying, so I made a club to make stuff fly.
Well, I mean, they can get Google Bucks. They're at 645,000 views on this thing. It came out on December 21st.
All right, well, that's a really fun business model.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Anyways, stuff. I had fun with that.
It was fun. It was cool.
Yeah. But we have some uncool. Let's jump to uncool.
I'm afraid to tell me what or to find out what was turned into an RC thing that's going to be disturbing.
Right? It's the lawsuit you covered this morning.
Oh, right. Which has nothing to do with putting Star Destroyers in the air. Okay. Yes. So there's this guy that filed a lawsuit in New York State against Apple, and he filed it as a class action lawsuit, alleging that Apple intentionally degraded the performance of the iPhone 4S with iOS 9 as a way to force people into upgrading to newer iPhone models.
Right.
Yeah, and he said Apple was aware that that iOS 9 didn't perform unacceptably poorly, to the point that that he was put in a position where he had to decide if he wanted to use a phone that disrupted his daily life, or if he wanted to spend hundreds of dollars to buy a new phone.
Huh.
Now, keep in mind, the iPhone 4S is 4 years old, 5 years old, 4 years old.
2011.
Okay.
So it'd be 4 years old.
So it's 4 years old and is still capable of running Apple's most recent operating system. There's a lot of other devices out there that would not be able to do the same.
Well, it's this is an interesting conundrum that Apple has found itself in. And this sort of noise happens every year. At least it has been for the last few years. iOS 8 was said to make the iPhone 4 unusable, for instance.
And I know people that were using iPhone 4s, and it was fine.
Well,
it wasn't as snappy, but it wasn't unusable. And the iPhone 4S, I've seen iPhone 4S is running iOS 9. It's not like running it on an iPhone 6S, but it was not, as the lawsuit claims, unusable.
But we don't know what that guy's experience is.
True. And we don't know what he's done to his iPhone.
Right.
Is it jailbroken? Is it loaded up so that there's no storage space left?
That seems to be far more likely to me than it being jailbroken. We don't know one way or another.
No, we don't. Is there water damage? Is there some other sort of physical problem with the phone that he doesn't know about that's creating this situation for him?
But these complaints do happen every year. Yes. And that's the interesting conundrum that I think Apple finds itself in, because no other company does as good a job as Apple at supporting legacy hardware.
That's true.
I mean, you know, I just sold my 2008 Mac Pro, which was running El Capitan. It's an 8-year-old Mac.
Yeah, which is crazy that it could do that. But there you go, it did. It still does. And this is one of the cheese grater body Macs.
Yes. You know, it had 8 cores and you know, I'd upgraded the video card and done some stuff. But I mean, the point is that Apple has best in industry record for supporting legacy hardware on new operating systems. But at the same time, they obviously don't run as well on old hardware as they do on new hardware.
Right. That's just kind of a given.
So, you know, the question is, like, in my opinion, Apple should be commended for supporting 4-year-old mobile hardware.
I agree. Although some people don't see it that way, clearly. But I agree. I think it's pretty impressive that Apple has an operating system that's as modern and as feature-rich as it is, and they're still able to make it work on a mobile device that's 4 years old.
But it doesn't
work as well as it does on a new device, and it doesn't have all the features.
The question, though, here, I mean, like I said, we do hear these. There is something here to these complaints. I've met enough people who are unhappy with that when they had an older device and they upgraded to a new operating system that Apple made available to them. This is particularly true on the mobile devices rather than on desktop Macs. Mm-hmm. Where they've been unhappy with the performance afterwards. This is not the first time we've heard someone accuse Apple of doing this on purpose to make them upgrade, which is ridiculous. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
That part of it is just ridiculous. I'm just dismissing that completely out of hand. That's stupid to be polite about it. But there's enough to these complaints that there's something there. And the question is whether or not Apple should be less magnanimous in supporting this legacy hardware.
You know, I think this is a catch-22 for Apple. They could have very easily just said iOS 9 does not run on the 4S. And then people would have looked at what's inside the 4S and would have done the same sort of dissecting things that they tried to do to the operating system. And they would have walked away from that saying, you know what? It's actually capable of doing this. And if we jailbreak and do this and this, we can install it and we can show you it works. And then there'd be a lawsuit from people claiming that Apple is artificially blocking iOS 9 to force people.
That is a great point. That is a really, I hadn't even thought of that. It's an interesting conundrum. Like I said, in general, I think Apple should get some kudos, and I think that in particular, Apple should maybe require, I don't know, maybe require more free space. I don't know. It's interesting, especially with these older devices. Like, all right, so when in 4 years, when our iPhone 6s are now 4 years old, the reality is that 128 gigs is probably not going to be as limiting as 16. Well, so what do they have? They have 16, so, but the 16 gigs will. The 16, yeah. 64, and 128, right? The 16 gigs will actually be quite limited in 4 years.
Yes.
Quite limited. I mean, like, that's actually one reason why I hate the fact that Apple even sells it. It should be 32, 64, and 128, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree completely. But also, keep in mind, Apple went and worked to make the operating system installation process require less storage space, less RAM.
Well, yeah, after people complained.
Right, but they figured out how to do it.
Yes, that's true.
So that's pretty impressive right there.
It's true. I don't have much, if any, empathy for this lawsuit.
I have no empathy for this lawsuit.
I just think it's an interesting conundrum that Apple finds itself in, because there are enough complaints that there is something to be criticized about performance of the newest operating system on the oldest supported hardware. There's something to it.
Sure.
Yeah. But the idea that Apple did it on purpose to get people to upgrade, that's just...
No, that's a lot of wasted resources. If you want to artificially push people into upgrades, you just do a cutoff so it won't install on the iPhone 4S.
Right. And I'm not sure what people with 4-year-old hardware think. I'm not really sure what they think that they should be entitled to. Should they be? I mean, Do they think that Apple had faster processors at its disposal that it didn't use?
I don't think that comes into the logic process for a lot of people that have this, I'll call it a sense of entitlement. I think that they expect that because Apple lets them install a version of an operating system on their iPhone, that it should work equally well on a 4-year-old phone as it does on a brand new phone.
Well, you're probably right. I guess I went to that particular aspect because of the charge of planned obsolescence.
Right.
And I don't think planned obsolescence is in any way a factor here. I mean, Apple every year pushes the envelope. I mean, Google pushes the envelope too with Android. And at the high end, the Android device makers do their precious little best to do the same thing. But Apple in particular is pushing the envelope every year. And I don't see how the idea of pushing the envelope every year equates to planned obsolescence, unless they just kind of expect everybody else to be saddled with the same stuff that they have or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With the older hardware expecting, right. I mean, I don't get that. I don't get that claim.
Yeah. I think some of it has to do with just simply not understanding how the technology works.
Coupled with entitlement.
And then the next thing you know, you have someone filing a class action lawsuit for $5 million in damages and requesting the option of going for triple damages.
Yeah, I don't understand why they'd be asking for so little if they actually think they can win this, because this would be a class of millions of people, right, were affected. I mean, Apple sold millions of iPhone 4Ss, tens of millions of iPhone 4Ss. So why would they only ask for $5 million?
That's a really good question.
Noobs?
I guess.
LOL. Noobs.
Yeah. But it's my expectation is that 4 years from now, I will not be installing whatever version of OS, iOS we're on, onto an iPhone 6S.
Well, yeah, okay, but hold. I gotta nitpick the crap out of that because you and I are edge case scenarios. We get new stuff every year because it's part of our job.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, we don't. You know, when's the last time you used a four-year-old iOS device? Because you know, because that was what you had.
How old is the original iPad Mini?
3 years old, I guess.
Okay, then I haven't done the four-year-old thing. But I'm still using a first-generation iPad Mini.
Yeah, how often do you use it, though?
Every week. But I don't use it in the same
every
way.
Every week? What the hell does that mean?
I'm using it throughout the week.
Throughout the week, okay.
Yeah, it's, right. It gets used regularly.
Yeah, so November 2012. Yes, 3 years old.
Okay. So I am not in a position where I can say.
But you also have an Air, don't you?
I have a first generation Air.
Yeah. Okay. And you have an iPad Pro.
And I have an iPad Pro.
So, you know, and I mean, you know, cry me a river, sir. Cry me a river, sir.
But Brian, my entitlement.
No, I just, I mean, I don't want to sit here and
yeah,
and
we are edge cases. You are absolutely right. Yeah, and I suppose there are people in my own personal circle that are using devices that are 4 years old.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah,
likewise for sure. A lot of people do. And they might not have bought them 4 years ago. They might have bought them last year. They might have even bought them this year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean,
I now that I think about it, I have people in my life that have hand-me-down iOS devices that totally fall into that four-year-old range, And they're not jumping to get in any lawsuits.
And Apple was selling the 4S last year.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, Apple was selling the 4S until this year, right? This is iPhone.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Oh. All right, so here's my scheme for planned obsolescence. Make your device. And say, we will support when people buy it, you say this device from original release date has 2 years of guaranteed support from the company, meaning any updates that come out, all of that stuff will run on this device. And then build in a piece that is going to start failing at 3 years.
That would be planned obsolescence.
That would be planned obsolescence. That's how I would do it.
Right.
Yes. But luckily, I am a really nice guy. Also, I'm not a device manufacturer, so you don't have to worry about something like that for me.
Discontinued in 2014, September.
Okay. So, so just over a year ago.
Yeah. Wow. All right. You know, it's the end of the year.
Yes.
There's probably, this is the most shameless plug ever. There's probably some stuff you're going to have to buy.
Oh, that's right. It's the end of the year. I forgot. I have to go buy stuff, Brian. Do you have any suggestions how I could do that?
Yes, I do. MacObserver.com/Amazon.
Oh, yeah, because then I can go buy my stuff before the end of the year.
Then you can go buy your stuff before the end of the year, as one does.
As one does.
And because, you know, you got to buy stuff.
Right. And if you're going to get a little something, we should too.
Yeah, we would, I don't know about should, we're not entitled to it, but we would like it if you did.
Okay.
So anyway, here's the deal. Go to macobserver.com/Amazon and there's a link to our Amazon affiliate program All you have to do is click on it. It takes you to Amazon. You buy stuff like you normally would. Mm-hmm. We don't want you buying stuff you don't need. But if you're going to buy something, do it through our affiliate link, because Amazon gives us a little something for sending people to them. It's a typical affiliate program.
You know, and I did that recently.
Did you? Excellent.
I bought a sound bar for my television.
Oh, nice. I did not know that. Why did you not tell me that?
Because I don't know why I didn't tell you that. I was saving it up for now because it's an end of the year surprise to tell you.
Excellent, as one does.
Yeah. So, you know, it was about a month ago, and it's awesome. I got this really nice JBL sound bar, mm-hmm. and bought a optic cable to go with it, and it was great. And I felt like I was giving myself something and TMO something at the same time.
Well, it turns out that TMO needs money to give you those paychecks.
Yeah. That's true.
And affiliate programs, quite frankly, are a big part of what we do. You know, we've got our deals at deals.macobserver.com. Mm-hmm. Those help pay salaries. Those help pay our bills. And our affiliate programs do, too. And, our sponsors. We've been blessed with fantastic sponsors over the years. And they help pay the bills. Mm-hmm. But then our affiliate programs are a big part of what we do, too. So,
yeah.
If you're going to be shopping at Amazon anyway, go to macobserver.com/Amazon and click on our link to Amazon right there. Easy, doesn't cost you anything extra at all in any way, shape, manner, or form.
And the bonus is Brian and I can eat for another month.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah, and so can the rest of the stuff.
Yes.
Righty-o. Righty-o. All righty. So, we should totally... We should totally segue into 2015.
We should totally segue into 2015. Yeah. You know, nothing like being right on top of 2015.
Yeah, I got, so you know I have my ears pierced, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got two of the permanent hoops that go through my ears.
Right. Just remember, don't pay the ferryman. Do you get to the other side? They're gold hoops, right?
Yes. No, they're silver. They're steel, actually.
Oh, man.
They got the ball in them. You know.
Good luck getting that ride from the ferryman.
Yeah, it's true. I got those in the year 2000, and my joke was that I'd had one earring in my left ear forever. Mm-hmm. And I said that it was... This was the year 2000. I said, you know, I've been stuck in the 80s long enough. It's time I get stuck in the 90s.
Oh, man, I can't wait till you get to the point where you're like, I'm doing a mullet.
It's time I get stuck in the 70s. I had a mullet. I did my best to look like minus the makeup, although there was the one day I did wear the makeup to school. But I really wanted to look like David Bowie in the Ziggy Stardust era. I just thought he was...
That was cooler. A look. That was a look.
Well, it was the first mullet, and then somehow Hicks took it over. Hicks took over the thing. You know, it's so funny. It's
well,
so
MacGyver,
funny the various
he
things.
Took it over, too.
What's that?
MacGyver.
Well, yeah, that's true.
He rocked MacGyver. His mullet.
He did rock the mullet. But, you know... David, the things that got sexual insults thrown at David Bowie were picked up by those who threw the insults.
There is some irony there. Maybe there's a big Bowie fan base in the Hick demographic.
It's possible. Anyway, this is ancient.
God got me some Ziggy Stardust and all, huh? Y'all get to see that spider tour? That was some stuff right there, I tell you what.
Mick Ronson, the hell of a guitarist. All right, anyway, 2015. We saw this piece. I'm actually going to go ahead and pull it up now because, you know.
Because you might as well. I think I know where you're going with this. There's some discussion about whether or not this was a year that Apple released products that were fully baked or not. Is that where you want to go?
The Verge said 2015, Apple's year in beta. And their article was sparked by Gizmodo, who wrote a piece saying everything Apple introduced this year kind of sucked.
That's kind of wrong.
Yeah, I would disagree with that too. It's a topic worthy of discussion. How's that?
Okay. All right. So, in defense at least saying Apple is releasing beta products, when the Apple Watch came out, it was feature limited compared to what we have now, and it's because they just didn't have all the features in the Watch OS. But they gave us an update and took care of that. When the new Apple TV came out, it was missing some of its Siri voice control support and did not have the Apple Music streaming service.
And didn't have HomeKit support.
And didn't have HomeKit support.
And didn't have the streaming service that we'd all been looking for. Of course, you know, Apple never said that it would, so you can't hold that against Apple.
No, they totally said that it was going to support Apple Music.
No, I'm sorry, movie streaming.
Oh.
Subscription. Yes. A subscription service.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, it does support movie streaming, obviously. Doesn't have a subscription video service. Apple never said it did. Can't really hold that against the company, but we also know that Apple was, in fact, trying to do it.
Right. And but then we got software update for Apple TV. And those features that we were looking at and going, really? Not with the product launch? What's up with that? Okay, so that's two places where if I stretch it, I can say, yeah, maybe. But then we have the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus. Those did not feel half-baked or bad.
Great products. So Gizmodo is criticizing the iPad Pro, saying that...
Why?
Core problem is that it's a big old screen running iOS mobile operating system that's not optimized for lots of big screen tasks.
Oh, for frack's sake. It's a really great tool, and it is not bad.
Apple Pencil, also not half-baked or beta.
No. iPad Pro came out as a fully ready-to-go product. Apple Pencil is a fully ready-to-go product. The problem there was that they weren't available at the same time. So you could get an iPad Pro, but you couldn't take advantage of...
For a couple of weeks.
Some people are still waiting.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, fair enough.
But for a few weeks after the iPad Pro came out, getting an Apple Pencil was basically a unicorn hunt. But once we could start getting this in our hands, it totally revolutionized the whole product that we had just bought.
Right.
Yeah, that we had bought so recently, we could return it if we wanted to. So right. That's pretty fast turnaround in the grand scheme of things.
Gizmodo also criticized the MacBook because only has one port, blah, 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 too light, blah, 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 whatever. Okay,
it's too light.
Well, all right. To be fair, he said, I never thought, who wrote this? Mario Aguilar wrote, I never thought Apple could design something so thin and light. I actually resented it. He has a plea in us, by the way. He has a bonus that.
That
I took out because I hate pleonasms. It's kind of how I roll. Furthermore, Apple, sweet job designing a $1,300 laptop that only has one port. One port. You need an $8 dongle to actually connect to my...
Okay, so he's kind of missing the point of USB-C. Granted, if I got a MacBook Pro with USB-C and it only had one port, I would not be happy. But then again, that's a Pro machine, and I expect to have a little more flexibility in the way I attach devices to it.
Yeah. Yeah, guess what, sir? The MacBook's not for you. That's okay.
The MacBook isn't for him. The MacBook, I could make it for me, but...
It's not for me either.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's okay. Not every product has to be for me. Yeah, Apple Watch...
It's a really good product.
He's complaining about the Apple Watch, calls it lame, basically says you can look and read your text message and a bunch of other useless crap, to quote him. I disagree with that. I have argued strenuously that Apple Watch is missing killer functionality. I still believe that. I have not been shaken out of that particular attitude. But it's not a lame device. It's actually a great device.
I still wear my Apple Watch every day.
Every day?
This is the guy that hasn't worn a watch for 20 years.
Right. That's true.
Now, granted, I don't put it on until I need to perform some function that involves the watch, or I'm leaving my place for the first time for the day.
Fair enough. I wear it second I get up.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people are doing. And that's great because you can do a lot of health and fitness tracking if you're wearing your watch from the moment you get up to the moment you go to bed.
Yep. And he's complaining about Apple Music. I don't get the complaints about Apple Music. I think Apple Music is good. That said, I don't use it a whole lot because I don't stream music a whole lot.
Apple Music is the first streaming music service that I actually pay for.
Yep. He's just... That just really just feels like a like just something to complain about. He is complaining about how you charge the Apple Pencil.
Okay, it is weird having to stick your Apple Pencil straight in the bottom, and it sticks straight out of your iPad Pro. That is kind of weird because if you want to use your iPad in portrait position and charge your Apple Pencil at the same time, realistically, you just can't do that. You need to use a little adapter and a lightning cable.
Actually, we need some lightning docks with the female plug.
Yeah.
God, do those exist yet? Hey, listeners, do you know of any? Have you seen anything like that? Just a little dock that you can stick your Apple Pencil in because, you know, market opportunity.
Right. Yeah. That's a great idea. I mean, yes, Apple includes the adapter so that you can use a male lightning plug and still charge your pencil. Mm-hmm. But having a little dock or stand where that's just built in.
Yeah, because it'd also be a place just to keep your pencil.
Yeah.
On your desk.
Yeah, with a little magnet attach point for the cap.
So, and he's complaining about live photos. I've yet to see a single live photo that doesn't look like somebody accidentally took a video. All right. Well, guess what? You haven't seen them all because I've seen a bunch of cool live photos.
I really like live photos.
3D touch, biggest disappointment. Just disagree.
I use 3D touch for navigation a lot. Using it on an app where, you know, like when you tap on an app icon or press on an app icon, I find I don't use that, but that's because of muscle memory. But when I'm in, say, like messages and someone sends me a photo that I want to keep, I found it more reliable to do the 3D touch press, you know, firm press to bring up the thing where I can just swipe up to save.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I use 3D touch quite a bit.
I have struggled to incorporate 3D touch into my daily usage habits on my iPhone 6S. That is true, but it's not because I find the technology disappointing. It's because I just haven't made myself do it.
Well, we've been...
The technology itself is cool.
It is cool. And we've been performing these same tasks in a very different way since 2007.
Yeah, and I also spend a lot more time on my iPad. If Apple would release an iPad Air 3 with 3D touch, I would likely use it a lot. Because I'm on my iPad more than I'm on my iPhone.
You know, I'm with you. I would like to have 3D touch on my iPad. I found that it was a very easy transition into using 3D touch for navigation, like switching between apps and stuff. And I really want to be able to do that on my iPad.
And then he says, transit directions and Apple Maps. It's about bleeping time. He didn't say bleeping. Google Maps is still infinitely better. Word on the street is that more people use Apple Maps than Google Maps on iOS. Congratulations, Apple. You forced your inferior homegrown app on users and it worked. Okay, well, you just kind of lost all credibility with me.
Yeah, that was a pretty big leap.
Yeah. Yeah. And to say that Apple Maps kind of sucks because it finally got this thing that he apparently thinks it needs. See, that's That's just a bunch of good vetching.
All right. Now, what I have found is that at least for the areas that I need to use map tools, Apple Maps has been more reliable and more accurate than Google Maps, which did surprise me. But the difference is big enough that I have stopped using Google Maps on my iOS devices completely. Matter of fact, on my Mac, if I need to look up a location, I launch the map apps now. I don't even go into Google to use Google Maps.
Yeah, I don't use Google Maps.
And I was a hardcore Google Map guy for a long time.
Sure. Yeah, and Apple did, in fact, just by making Apple Maps default, Apple did in socially engineer us. Engineered us into using it. That is true, but people don't complain about Apple Maps anymore. Apple Maps,
well, except for this
was
one,
problematic right? for like the first 6 months of its existence 3 years ago.
And then after that first 6 months, we started seeing pretty impressive improvements very quickly.
Very, very quickly. And to announce that it got a new feature, so therefore it kind of sucked, that's just idiotic.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, here's when I gave up on Google Maps. I was south of the Denver metro area, and I needed to get to back to Boulder. And so just so I could test and see how things were working, I asked Google Maps to get me to Boulder. And what it told me to do was get on the tollway that heads east from I-25. So I'm going north on I-25. And so to cut to the chase, here's the route you take. You go north on I-25 to Highway 36, take Highway 36 to Boulder. And it's unless traffic's really bad, it's fast and it's great. What Google wanted me to do was get on E-470 and go east. So I'm going away from Boulder and then take E-470 all the way up to where it hits Highway 36 and then take that all the way back over and across I-25 and then back up into Boulder. And when that happened, I decided I was done.
Fair enough. So I largely disagree with Mr. Aguilar. But I will say that we have complained several times this year about Apple products not feeling quite as polished as they should be.
Yes, we have.
And that's the sort of that's the fire behind the smoke. The Verge's take, 2015 Apple's year in beta, is much more reasonable than the Gizmodo take.
I agree. Now, had Apple released several other products with more features initially that they had promised, wow, that was really awkward. If more of the features Apple had promised were available with initial product launches as opposed to waiting for updates, I think that people would have seen this year as a better year for Apple.
That's only true for the Apple TV, though.
Apple Watch?
What did Apple promise that wasn't there?
Oh, see, that's a good question.
Nothing. There was stuff that we wanted to be there that we felt should have been there, but not stuff that Apple promised. Apple TV was definitely missing stuff at release.
That's a good point.
And we had the delay on the iPad Pro in terms of getting the pencil and the keyboard.
All right. So you're right. What it comes down to is Apple TV
and iPad Pro with the pencil and the keyboard.
You know,
so you have a point. You have a point. I don't think it was something that was endemic throughout the year.
No, it was not endemic throughout the year. I don't think there was any issue with the release of the MacBook. And even though it's not the right product for me at this point in my life, it is still a really neat laptop.
So let me give us a. I know we're running out of time here, but
yeah, we have 10 minutes left. We're doing good.
We have 10 minutes left.
We have 10 minutes left.
Okay, sweet. It's so weird not being in control of the recording anymore.
I have the power.
You do have the power.
one of these days we'll be 10 minutes into the show and I'm just going to start the end music and tell you, no, really, it was that long.
Okay. That will be a grand time.
It will. People will okay. laugh.
So he said, all of Apple's products, who's writing this one? This one. So this is, we're back at The Verge. So this is Nilay Patel. He wrote, all of Apple's products this year were just fine. And he put fine in italics. You could sever yourself totally within the Apple ecosystem and use Apple Music and Apple News on your iPhone while taking live photos, and you would be just fine. You wouldn't have the best time, but you wouldn't have the worst one either. It would be just fine. And that's really the issue. We're not used to Apple being just fine. We're used to Apple being wildly better than the competition, or sometimes much worse, but always being ahead of the curve on some significant axis. But what we got in 2015 was an Apple that released more products than ever, all of which felt incomplete in extremely meaningful ways, ways that meant that their products were just fine and often just the same as everyone else. And I don't agree with that. I don't think all of which felt incomplete in extremely meaningful ways. I don't agree with that at all. Some of them did.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Apple Watch in particular and mm-hmm. Apple TV in terms of HomeKit.
Right.
And that's actually it for me. iOS 9 is terrific.
I'm pleased with iOS 9. I'm pleased with El Capitan.
I'm pleased with El Capitan. I'm pleased with the new 5K iMac I've got on my desk.
Yeah, that's a sweet machine.
Sweet machine. I'm pleased as punch with my iPhone 6S.
Yep, as am I. I am so happy with my iPad Pro and my Apple Pencil.
I like my Apple Watch, but I don't love it.
I really like my Apple Watch. Now that watchOS 2 is out, you know, which is not like brand new, but once watchOS 2 came out, I was much happier with my watch because it gave me more flexibility the big thing was the complications. Well, and native apps. And a maniacal devotion of the Pope. I'll come back in.
with apologies to Monty Python.
Yes.
Well, that's excellent. And I mean, the biggest unhappiness for me is the lack of an iPad Air 3. I am so cranky about that. I am so cranky about that.
You know, I'm very well aware of that. And the thing for the iPad 3 for me is that I look at my iPad lineup now because I have iPad Mini version 1, iPad Air version 1, iPad Pro. And I know one of my smaller iPads is going to need to be replaced at some time in the relatively near future. So let's say like in the next 6 to 8 months. What do I update? Do I get a new iPad Air? Do I get a new iPad Mini?
You have both because you have both.
Yes.
Update one or the other. Pick one and, I mean, move on. Well, you have an iPad Pro too.
I know, but see, that's the thing. Which of those is going to be the appropriate one to update? And some of that comes down to what hardware has Apple released? And some of it comes down to how do I really need to use these devices? I'm totally suffering from a first world problem here. I just realized that.
Yeah. First world.
I should stop talking.
If they update another one, which one am I getting? Anyway, but they did just update the iPad Mini.
They did.
So you won't have to. That'll be one choice you won't have to struggle with, sir.
Yeah, the iPad Mini with the update, so it's in line with the iPad Air 2, suddenly became a very compelling option for me.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. That still seemed weird to me too. Everyone was excited about that. And well, to me, like, great. So you're updating this to last year's innards?
Okay. I wasn't excited about it, but keep in mind, I have Dave was really excited. He's really happy with it. But I still have a first generation iPad Mini, and the leap from the first generation to that would be a pretty impressive and significant update for me.
Okay, but realistically speaking, you could ditch the Mini or the Air, and then be less saddled with the Mini or the Air and the Pro and yes. your array of Macs.
Yes, that's true.
How's that big 34-inch HP display treating you?
It's treating me mighty fine.
Are you sure you don't? I mean, like, you know, you're not like facing some sort of like upgrade crisis on whether or not to install some sort of like, you know, virtual reality implant or a wall size display, and you can't figure out which one you want to do.
Oh, great. Now I have a new issue. Thanks a lot. I was fine until right now.
Anyway, I get where the comments are coming from. This idea that 2015 was the year in beta, which to me is the polite way of putting it, and I disagree with Mr. Aguilar's assertion that everything kind of sucked. That's just
there was
patently untrue.
No, I take it back. The one thing that sucked is that you didn't get an iPad Air 3.
That did, yeah. Yeah, I'm cranky about that. But what it felt like in part was that Apple's upper management is being stretched thin.
I think they may have addressed that. Time will tell. But they did that that executive shuffle. Well, it wasn't even really a shuffle. Jeff Williams got promoted,
mm-hmm.
and App Store services.
But Jeff smooth. Williams is a great example. He's an operations guy who was in charge of getting the Apple Watch to market. How, I mean, isn't that an example of Apple being stretched thin in the executive ranks to begin with? He's an operations guy.
He's an operations guy, but it was really I hate when I forget people's names. The VP technology guy, Kevin Lynch. Kevin Lynch was deeply involved with the Apple Watch project.
Several of them were. But how deeply involved can they be in how many products?
Oh, that's a good question. But if you have the right executive members to focus on individual projects, then you're okay. Well, but now we're back to what you're saying. Is the executive team stretched too thin?
It's a tricky thing that Apple is doing. Right. You know, you've got this startup mentality. That was one of the Steve Jobs things, small teams.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the desire and fairly provable track record of only having the best of the best. Yes. And there are only X amount of the best people in the world. And some of them don't want to work at Apple, and some of them will simply be paid we'll choose to work at other companies.
Right.
Apple can't have all of the best of the best by definition, in my opinion. So, you know, how do you keep growing? You know, how do you add more product lines? I mean, you know, remember this is a company that once upon a time, they made Mac computers. This is what they did.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when all they did was make Mac computers, they also made printers.
Well, there was actually a period where they didn't make the printers and they only made Macs, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's just nitpicking.
Yeah, that's just nitpicking. Should we talk about the mess that their display product line was for a long time?
It still is.
Yeah, but at least they're not rebranding Gold Star monitors anymore. That was a disaster.
That's also true. But I mean, Apple. How much bigger can Apple get and still be the lean startup? And there is an actual answer to that question somewhere.
There is, and we may be finding out in the next couple of years, assuming that they follow through on their car plans.
Yeah. Well, and all of the other products that we don't know about. We know about the car because it's so big. Right, so big. I mean, there's just so many people working on it, and you know, it just right. It leaked. People talk about it. When people get hired to do this stuff, they end up talking about it, and that's why we found out about the car. But there are lots of other products that are in development in Apple. Some of which will never see the light of day. Some of which will. Right.
Right.
And those two need people's time. Those best of the best people's time.
Yes.
There's just only so much of that can go around. I kind of have a feeling we could talk about this a lot longer. Fortunately, we went ahead and spent some time talking about, I think, TV shows. What were we talking about?
Star Wars wasn't a TV. Well, actually, there are Star Wars TV shows, but that's not what we were talking about.
There's something else, too. It was some sort of nonsense we started the show off with.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That sounds like pretty much every show.
So at least we're, this is how we're wrapping up the year. We start off with a little nonsense.
Hey, we're at CES next week.
We are at CES next week. Are we going to do a show?
I don't know. We'll be recording daily observations from CES, that's for sure.
Yeah, we should do an ACM there too.
All right. Well, then we'll make an ACM happen as well.
should do a show on the show floor. I said
it's going to be awesome.
What did you think? No. What did you think? Anyway,
what yeah. You want a drink?
It's so noisy at CES. Anyway, yeah, we're going to be at CES next week. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. All right. Hey, here comes the outro music. Check this out. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us, and that's all for this week, except for make sure you go to macobserver.com/Amazon.
And buy stuff.
If you're going to buy stuff.
And buy stuff.
Yeah, we don't want you. I don't want people buying things they don't need.
No, it's okay. I'm an enabler. It's all right. Buy stuff you want. And presents. And stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Top men.
I can't believe they let us out in public.
No.